It's the Tiltcast, episode 614, Good at Being Bad at Being Good. What?
And this week, guys, we talk Monster Hunter Wilds and a lot of Kojima. Stay tuned.
What indeed?
He's a heart man.
Oh.
We're back.
Yeah.
Stillcast.
Woohoo.
It is Sunday, March 16th at a balmy 53 degrees at 1:22 p.m. I'm Nas.
I'm Jason.
I'm tired. Rusty.
And with the three of us, you'll get about 30 minutes of bullshit.
Bullshit.
Some games and some news. It is an M-rated show, didn't I say that? Yeah, I think I did. Yeah. No. We're all tired.
It's 28 degrees here. it was damn near 70 degrees yesterday. So I'm trying to figure out whether or not Mother Nature's, you know, trolling me right now or what the deal is. We had spring and then winter again. It's snowing here.
Yeah, I mean, we were almost 80 degrees yesterday, and then today we're in the 50s. So, yeah, feeling you there.
It's a little much, I'll say.
The weather.
Sorry. Wow. The weather whiplash is really bothering me. I can't even wake up, and it's the middle of the day. But, yeah. Today is definitely a stay inside and let this shit blow over day. Speaking of blow over shit, yesterday, you walk outside without eye protection, you were going to get sandblasted. There was so much sand and dirt and stuff being kicked up. It was 60 mile an hour gusts yesterday. It was nuts, man.
Well, I mean, that our day started similar on Friday, and then towards the afternoon, like, a bunch of people decided to start fires. So then we had smoke blowing all throughout the city.
Yeah, you know, I'm all right with, you know, I would like to have springish. I like spring. I like fall. I don't like the dead of summer, and I don't like the dead of winter, but, you know, the middle grounds are all right. It's like every so often you get to throw a hoodie on if you feel chilly, but otherwise you're not sweating and you're not freezing. So, but yeah, It's been a hell of a week. There's been a lot of shit.
A lot of stuff that wasn't even playing games for me. Lots going on.
Well, I mean, a lot of shit happened to me. So
yeah, yours is far more interesting than mine.
My
week has not been nearly as interesting.
Yeah. So I go, I made the decision. I really wanted to go, you know, go towards get the house. A demo place, even if it's a, you know, even if it's a freaking tiny home someplace, you know, I'm looking for my own place, right? So I start the whole process and I go, online. And of course, housing market's stupid, absolutely friggin' retarded. And it's not recommended at all to, you know, to do this type of thing right now. But I'm looking around. I'm doing it. I find a place down the road, you know, halfway decent, you know, conversion of a manufactured home, and is like, all right, this isn't too bad. I go through the process of starting that shit, and I find out that somebody had, somebody was already about a week or so into the contract phase of, you know, buying that house. So it's basically on the market still, but it's probably going to be off the market real soon.
So
already ahead of me. I'm like, all right, well, shit. So I start looking around and getting bummed because there really isn't anything else that's like within the price range. It's crazy. I live in rural Michigan where you're fucking a half an hour from your nearest, you know, like big grocery store, right? And these places up here are selling for $250,000 for the, you know, for a house that was built 40 years ago or more. And it's just, it hurts, right? You know, so I'm bothered by that whole thing. And I go, you know, I get bummed. Like I'm super bummed about the whole thing. I go and I talk to my aunt and tell her about how bummed I am. That turned into a, you know, an interesting conversation because she just looked at me and says, you know, I have property I'm trying to get rid of, right? Like, no, I didn't know that. How much property? And she's like, well, it's here and about a half acre and, yeah, I owe some taxes on it. You pay the taxes off, you can have it. I'm like, stop. What? Seriously? How much do you owe on it? And it's not a lot. I mean, like, you know, 250, you know, 2,500. Like, heart attack, you know, time, right? Like, this shit, coming down from the freaking heavens and, like, you know, filling a need. And I'm like, okay. Sold. Didn't even have to think about it. It's like, yeah, I'm ready. I'm interested. Let's get this done. The very next day, I pay, I get the, you know, payoff information for it. And then, you know, and yesterday I get all the, you know, information to transfer the land deed. And I'm like, I'm fucking stoked. This is great. This is like, I own land. I'm a landowner. Oh my God. This is amazing. And then reality crashed. You see, one of my hard requirements for building a house or owning a house or
hard requirements
like that is that it has to have high speed internet. It's just part of what I do. You know, I am a
not just personal life, but work too.
Like I'm an IT professional. I play a lot of video games. My main entertainment is my computer. I cannot have shit internet. I just can't. I refuse. So I happened to find a guy that works for the local ISP, that is currently supplying where I'm at right now with fiber. And I ask, hey, is fiber run up to this location? And he just looks at me and says, no, there isn't anything north of, you know, of the main office. And the place that I was looking at is north of the main office. And I'm like, oh, shit. How long before it's available at that location? And he's like, sometime within the next 5 years. And I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me, man. You've got to be kidding me. There's no way I'm going to, you know, drop all of this onto a piece of land and not be able to get high speed internet or the things that I need to have in my house. And
for at least 5 years.
Right, for at least 5 years. And that's not even a guarantee. That's just like, that's an estimate.
That's a heavy ballpark from somebody working for the company.
Right. I mean, like I said, I'm in a rural area. So having to, running broadband to places, it's like if they go a mile of, piped broadband down a road, they might hit five houses. Whereas if they go a mile down a road in someplace like, that's more densely populated, then they might hit an entire neighborhood, right? And be able to get a lot of customers out of it.
Oh, yeah. They do a mile. A lot of places here, you're hitting between 500 and 1,000 houses.
Right. So, it's much different up here. And it's, it has to be done basically by, broadband grants for rural areas. Because the phone company, the ISP, can't really afford it. So, I'm going, well, shit. I get that news and I get super bummed, like hardcore bummed again. And this is all in the span of like 3 or 4 days, right? I'm going, I got a potential house. Oh, this is not, that house is already sold. I've got a potential piece of land. I've got the land. I'm going to look at putting a house on it. I'm missing a thing that I absolutely fucking need for the house. And it's just like this big fucking roller coaster. I've been just having a bad time just dealing with the ups and downs so fast. Like nothing about buying a house and building a house even is supposed to be this fast. So I'm like, this is rough. So I have made the decision. I'm going to get I've got the land, right? Shit's mine. I'm going to go plant a fucking flag on that piece of property and piss on it. And that is my land. I'm probably going to end up putting that land on the market and selling it off and just saving that money towards a place that actually does have internet. Or, when the housing market is not stupid anymore or something. I don't know. If it doesn't happen within the next 5 years, it might just turn into a fucking cruise. Who cares?
Right.
Or
a safari.
I'm not giving up on my vision of actually having my own place. And if the stars align and things aren't fucking like crazy right now, I might actually go for it. But I'm stable at the moment, and the more I save up, the easier it's gonna be. So I'm just gonna continue just doing the saving thing and stuff. But man,
the more years you go with your new smaller grocery bill,
you know how much money I'm saving right now? I actually did a little bit of calculation on this shit. I just needed to know. For what I was getting for, my breakfasts, stuff I was getting for lunch to take to work or going out to eat at work or whatever. And then, the stuff I bought for dinner for myself. Just for me, on top of like the sodas and everything that I was getting and a bunch of stuff. It was more than, $400. I was eating a lot, and a lot of the stuff is just expensive, right? Especially the stuff that's all prepackaged for, on the go, right? So I was spending way too much. And just in the last month, I brought that down to $100, and most of that is protein drinks. maybe just a little over $100 if I add, add some Quest bars to it. So I cut my food bill into a quarter of what it was before. That's a lot of savings in a month, and that adds up over a year, So, yeah, all that stuff's going to go right into the bank. If, you know, but this also gives me the opportunity to, you know, to just keep putting stuff away, you know, and, you know, it'll be more planned instead of more spur of the moment. You really shouldn't make something that is like a life decision spur of the moment. It should never happen that way. So,
true.
Yeah. So I'm gonna hold off on doing the thing, but I'm still going to be like, you know, saving stuff up. But this also kind of, you know, this also brings me to another thing. I mean, it might be possible now that if I don't do, you know, don't go like balls deep into a freaking, you know, house build, that I might be able to actually have a vacation this year. You know, so yeah. I don't know. If nothing changes, and if nothing goes fucking, you know, haywire crazy, I'm thinking the tri-birthday thing might still happen this year. I'm gonna try for it.
Wee.
So, yeah. I hadn't told the guys this before the show. I just wanted to make it a surprise. I think Justin's over there sleeping.
I'm not sleeping. But,
I mean, but yeah. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I do want to, you know, possibly make that happen. You know, so that is a definite possibility. That is, unless I, you know, unless shit hits the fan, which I hope it doesn't. But yeah, I'll say that the roller coaster for the last week or so for, you know, building a house or being a homeowner or being a landowner, I went from being, you know, having no asset to having a, you know, a half an acre of land. And, you know, it's a surreal thing, right? It's very different. But yeah, I just knew I had to stop at this point and be like, all right, this has gotta like even out. Otherwise I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And the market is just nuts right now. Like, I was looking at house prices, you know, 5 years ago, and it was like one third to one half of what, you know, what the current price is right now, depending on where you're at. When single wide trailers on a, you know, on a one to 2 acre lot up here still goes for 180K, you know, there's a problem with the housing market.
Dude, I get two or three calls a week with different realty companies wanting to find me.
Yeah, and it's just, and those are probably one of the problems. They're probably investment. Those people who do that kind of thing, they're just investing in properties and, you know, waiting for the next, you know, just before the, you know, the market crashes so that they can dump. You know, it's nuts.
Oh yeah. Or they're turning them into rental properties.
Or yeah. Yeah. Rental properties. So bad. Yeah. Rental properties right now are just kicking it, dude. There's a dude I know up here that is basically in the same, you know, the similar situation I was in. It was like, couldn't find a small plot of land. Couldn't find what he wanted, you know, what he wanted to put a house on. So he's like, look, this is a thing that, you know, that I'm going to do. I'm going to buy this larger piece of land. I'm going to section off the piece that I need, get myself, you know, access to a road so that, you know, I'm not landlocked or whatever. And then turn the larger piece of land into, you know, rental units. and he's just renting that out. And that's how he's paying for the whole, you know, like the whole plot of land is by, you know, doing rental units. Like, that's, I mean, that's great if you've got the capital to do that, but I mean, I'm not rolling on, you know, I'm not rolling in $100 bills underneath my bed. So, that shit's way out of my price range.
Yeah.
But I mean, I look around, like just looking around here, this is not apartment country. I'll tell you that. There is, very few apartment complexes outside of the big, big cities up here. Because that never really caught on. Like, you know, up in, you know, in the, like the Traverse City area or down in Grand Rapids. Yes. But anywhere else, yeah, you don't see apartment complexes. You see maybe duplexes every once in a while, but never an apartment complex. These apartment complexes are starting to pop up just about everywhere. and in weird spots. So it's going around. Like, I don't know. It'll something's going to change. Something's going to blow up soon somewhere. And then all of a sudden, all of these, you know, people holding investment properties are just going to dump. And then we'll be back into one of those, you know, one of those cycles, right? Where there's so many houses on the market that the price goes down. Hopeful. Yeah, I mean, one can hope. People like me hope for that kind of things. People like you guys don't. because your property values go down.
Well, on one hand, yes. On the other hand, I'm like, I would like to be able to afford a bigger house.
Right, yeah.
As long as the market stays as inflated as it is.
Yeah, you can't really
move. There's no way.
Yeah, there's no moving out of, you know, where you're at right now because there's no place to go to, you know?
Yeah, basically a house big enough to justify a move for my family is double what I cost, double what I can sell my home for, which isn't enough to make the payment on that house manageable on one income. So,
yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. It's a thing. It'll change. I mean, I might be 50 when it changes, but it'll change.
I think it's going to be sooner than that.
Well, we'll see. I mean, if that is, then I'll be prepared for it. Right. So the idea then is to get the property, get the, the plot that I've got out on the market, get it sold before the value goes nuts, and changes, pocket what I can get out of that. And then start looking for a place that does have the amenities that I need, like, high speed internet, natural gas, no fucking HOA because nobody likes Karen. And
I can't live in anywhere with an HOA.
Dude, there is one place up here that has an HOA that has like a yearly fee of $100. The only reason why they list it as an HOA is to get rid of people who don't want to live in a location that has an HOA. If you don't cut your grass, there isn't anybody that's going to come tell you to cut your grass. I mean, the guy that manages that shit, he's like, it's like we all work, so cut it when you can. If there's a complaint, it goes into a suggestion box that goes right into a shredder. It's just basically there in name and there isn't really any enforcement. So
As long as you're not letting your yard become a jungle, people have to trek through.
Dude, around here, it's more, you know, people around here, it doesn't matter if it's a jungle. What the HOAs are for up here is to prevent people from turning their front yards into a junkyard. Because that shit happens up here all the time. You know, there's a dude that has like fucking 50 cars just parked in his front yard. He parts them out. Everybody, you know, like, okay, that's kind of much, but you know,
I mean, it sounds like up around where my mother-in-law lives.
Right. Well, rural areas, right? You know, you get by with whatever you can, you know? I'm really a fish out of water here, you know, cause, I liked my Tulsa living. I liked going down the street to the freaking grocery store and not feeling like, you know, not having to drive a half an hour to get from point A to point B. If I wanted to go to, you know, go someplace to eat, it was 5 minutes away to 10 minutes away instead of like, you know, having to budget out an hour and a half just for travel, you know?
Yeah.
It's a different life up here. You know, I'm doing what I can with what I've got, and I'm super, you know, I'm actually super lucky to have the fiber that I have right now. And
I still don't have fiber.
Fucking, yeah. I mean, I was looking at it, and I have better bandwidth at my house than my, you know, the business that I work for gets for their entire business. and I'm like, there's something wrong with this here. I'm okay with it, you know, because I'm on the better side of this deal here, but that's messed up. So, hey, whatever. It's been a hell of a week, and all I want to do is relax. And I've had a short bit of opportunity to do that, but I'm looking forward to more. So that's my story. What's your story?
I worked a lot and played some video games.
Oh yeah. You worked a lot and played some video games. I did.
I just worked a lot.
You just worked a lot. You didn't get to play any video games at all.
I mean, I was so gassed by the time I got home pretty much every night that I just didn't die.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had a lot of paperwork to do, so I kind of feel you. Like I came home. And I did was doing paperwork, and I was looking at shit, doing more paperwork. It just gets.
And then, like, next week is spring break.
Yep.
So, we were kind of doing little stuff, kind of preparing to, you know, get some spring cleaning done, like going through the shed and then. Get my camper ready for the summer.
You're gonna do the rock aroma thing like again, or no?
Oh no,
no.
I don't like the lineup this year, so definitely not for me.
I kind of heard it wasn't the best, but
well, they had which ownership like. Pretty late game that kind of changed, I think, changed lineup opportunities. So originally, for the last couple of years, Rocklahoma has kind of been co-managed by DWP, which is a big-ass company that does a bunch of music festivals. Because the plan was the originators and owners of Rocklahoma were going to sell the festival to DWP. And I guess certain things came up that DWP was wanting to change, like not allowing generators in the camping areas and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
And there's a bunch of backlash, so everything just kind of returned to the original ownership. Well, that happened in like November, and when you're looking at, you know, trying to settle a lineup, you know, DWP was bringing their own contract to the lineup until that happened. So I'm sure there was a bunch of scrambling. So, you know, you still have some staples that have been there before, like Shinedown and Five Finger Death Punch and Breaking Benjamin. Marilyn Manson's coming back for the first time in years. 3 Days Grace has been out there a bunch. Alice Cooper's been out there a bunch. Flyleaf has been out there a bunch. Hinder's been out there a bunch. But they've got a lot of smaller, smaller bands that I'm not too all familiar with.
It wasn't worth the price of admission to me.
Yeah, that just for me doesn't really make it worth it. Even for day passes, like if Crystal and I were just going to drive out there to see the shows and drive home. So, you know, we'll wait and see what it's like next year. It's gotta be a really good lineup for me to spend that kind of money. Cause it's not like Crystal and I have the money to just go out there to party or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
We've gotta like enough of the lineup like we did when we went 2 years ago to kind of justify it. So. So, yeah, no, we're not doing that. And realistically, we're probably only going camping a couple times this year because it's coming up on time to get my shocks redone on the truck. And when I get the shocks redone, I kind of want to put in one of those airbag systems that help you balance the load. To reduce the wear on the shocks, etc. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's some money. I really want to, because the original 22-inch rims on this thing are kind of starting to rust out, etc. So I really want to get the whole rim and tire package done on. Before we get back to hauling it about. So we're probably only taking it out twice this year. But, you know, you still have to have it ready to roll.
Yep.
So that's what we're going to be doing this week, and hopefully I get at least a day or two for just relaxation and gaming. We'll see how it goes.
Cool. Well, shit. Ooh. Enough of life. We want to fucking talk about games. Jesus.
Well, I mean, I've not played much, and I think you guys have pretty much exclusively played one game.
Kinda.
Yeah, I was gonna. Was it Rise of Ronin? Was that the one that just came out from Ninja Theory?
Yeah, Rise of Ronin is, you know, that one.
Not running well on PC, so I'm waiting.
Yeah, I noticed that. There was a lot of backlash that it was terrible on PC. And I'm like, could you not break the shit before we get it, you know? But here we are. Otherwise, if I guess if you're playing it on console, it's actually not too bad. In fact, they said it's a great game, but if it would run on PC. So don't buy it on PC right now until, you know, shit gets worked out. There's a lot of shit going on just in the PC space. It's just like, well, somebody needs to unfuck themselves, fairly quickly to make, PC actually worthwhile. NVIDIA.
yeah.
And I guarantee you it's, well, I guess I won't say guarantee, but I'm going to wager that a lot of the optimization issues and stuff like that has to do with, with the, NVIDIA and working with, developers for new games. They're not doing their due diligence to make sure that, make sure that the games, are optimized with the driver sets. And, they're, of course, NVIDIA is focused on pushing out the latest, greatest video cards that are just, myths at the moment. So, it's kind of a pain in the ass to play anything on PC right now. Other than your normal games. I'm having a lot of fun with Wilds for sure, but I'm also looking at games that's come out in the last, one, two, 3 years.
Yeah, so Wilds is pretty good. I am getting the itch to play something else. I've kind of got my hunts down to a science and the things I want to do, and it kind of feels like the game that I'm just min-maxing at this point.
Right.
And so that's like a good point for me to try to figure out something else to play, so I might finish Avowed.
I mean, I was thinking about going back to Avowed, but I also was like, I don't know if I really want to. I came up with this, the reason why it doesn't feel right for me, on my last, talk about Avowed, and it's just like, you get kind of pigeonholed with weapons and you really can't change. So I feel like I'm very pigeonholed into two pistols and I can't do anything more about it. There isn't a way to check out different builds or build qualities without going super deep in the investments, especially as you go later in the game. Your companions start yelling at you for not having good enough gear at that point. And it's two pistols is all right, but I could also just play a first person shooter at that point, it doesn't fill the need for me right now. And there's something to be said. Like I have a deep need right now for games that, that look at your combos, your positioning, your timing and stuff like that. And the only games that really fit that need are Souls-like games. So, I downloaded Elden Ring because I was upset yesterday and I couldn't focus on Wild, so I just downloaded that. Didn't play it, just downloaded it. I also saw Neo 2 on sale for like 50% off because the Steam sale's going on right now. And I picked that up. I know you played that game.
I didn't finish it. It's incredibly hard.
Well,
maybe I wasn't in the right headspace. Yeah, I wasn't in the right headspace for it at the time.
Yeah, it's also incredibly long because once you beat the game, then it continues to kind of increase in difficulty Diablo style, where you get more gear and you get further and further into the game. I figured I'd give it a try for like 20-ish bucks. It was worth, giving a try. But yeah, it's just, I have a flavor, and it's, and right now it is games that it's typically 3D games, kind of like Wilds, that if you do something wrong, you learn from it, and not like, oh, well, I'll just, it's just another life, whatever. If I fire my heavy bow gun at the wrong time in Monster Hunter Wilds, I can get my ass kicked. And it happens. And it's very much like committing to a gut sword swing in any of the Dark Souls games. Like, it's a very heavy, long ass swing. But when it connects, boy, does it connect, that's the kind of shit that I'm craving. And I get those from Souls games. So I was thinking about downloading Dark Souls 3 and beating that for the fifth fucking time. I played a little bit of Surge 2 on the PlayStation 5, but I kind of dislike it.
It never quite connected with me. I got it for like $7 on a sale.
Yeah, it's available to download as part of the PlayStation Plus thing, and I played through a bit of it. But what happens with the Surge 2 is you end up targeting specific body parts, and then you just kind of like go and kill 5 people, and then go back and you kill the same 5 people and go back until you get all the body parts that you need, and then you go a little bit further and you kill like 10 people and then go back. And it's not the same kind of progression that you get from a Souls game. It's more of a grind in a direction, and I didn't like that about, I didn't like that about Surge. It just didn't feel right. No, it wasn't paced correctly. The combat was all right, but it wasn't paced correctly. So I'll just continue with what I like, and it's what I like. But there's a couple things. Like, there's a couple things that are on the Steam sale that I've been kind of checking out. But this, most of my time has been playing Monster Hunter Wilds and basically rolling through different weapon sets, and doing shit with different weapons, and I'm kind of gearing up towards doing gun lance. I'm mainly a gunner, so heavy bow gun, light bow gun. Haven't done the bow yet. I heard the bow is pretty good, but not necessarily my play style. But man, do I love hammer. Great sword's always a good, fallback. But I've wanted to, give Gunlance a go. Because Gunlance, I mean, it's in the name.
I like Gunlance. Takes a little bit of challenge to kind of get used to maneuvering around with it, but yeah, I like Lance way more than I thought I would. This is the best Lance has ever been.
Yeah.
It's been super freaking tanky, too.
Now, from what I understand, Gunlance is the best it's ever been.
Oh, Gunlance for sure is.
I can safely say with 100% certainty that heavy bowgun is the worst it's been since, on modern consoles ever.
Now, that was what you were playing earlier today with me, wasn't it?
Yes.
So why are you playing it?
Well, it's still workable, and it still has a lot of fun factor, right? There is something about, popping on Wyvernheart and, going daka 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 and, just going machine gun style on an enemy. It does a damn decent amount of damage, but it's not nearly as enjoyable to play as it was in World and even in Rise. Mainly because there's some changes to how recoil works in in this game. So normal ammo, even on a heavy bowgun, normal ammo will shoot three shots per ammo, which is all right. I mean, that's good for clearing out small monsters and whatnot. Pierce is kind of like a medium recoil, medium reload. And that's kind of my go-to, is I tend to play Pierce heavy bowgun a lot. So that pierces through an enemy. The more chunk of enemy I pierce through, it does a decent amount of damage. But it doesn't work the same way as it did in previous installments of Monster Hunter, as it's not as forgiving. Because you can get up to, I think it's 9 ticks of damage off of a pierce shot. But if you if you hit the wrong spot, it'll be 9 ticks of 1 damage. So it's really not useful. And spread is almost unusable in this game.
Because I don't think you're maneuverable. You're not maneuverable enough, right?
Well, spread is, in previous games you had a recoil stat. You could actually build your guns to have lower recoil for different weapon types. So there is no recoil stat in Wilds, so it's based off of, normal is easy peasy. Pierce is kind of in the middle, and spread is almost like you're shooting both barrels of a double barrel shotgun. Large amount of recoil, right? And spread used to be like its own play style, like being right up close to the monster's face and just like spraying pellets all over the place. It's almost unusable in this game, to the point where I don't think anybody uses it. Nobody builds for it because it's, there's so much commitment to a shot that you're just going to get flat. Element shots for a heavy bowgun are better than they ever have been because it does multiple ticks of damage, but you have to have the right bowgun for the right, for the right enemy and, on multiple, multiple monster hunts. It gets a little tedious to change out your loadout all the time. That you have to carry around, the materials to make more elemental shots because you can only carry so much. So it doesn't have nearly as good of a feel as the melees. Like a lot of the melee, the melee weapons and stuff like that have really good move sets, have ways to get out of damage. There's a lot more combos that you can get into. It's just all overall more interesting than just sitting back about mid range and going pew pew pew. So not very many people do that. So it's disappointing because heavy bowgun it's a little bit more popular than hunting horn, but hunting horn is actually becoming more popular than heavy bowgun in this game, and that's saying something.
I still don't get hunting horn.
Yeah, hunting horn is, if you want to play a healer, you play a hunting horn.
You want to live the boring life?
Huh?
You want to live the boring life?
Well, it's a little bit better in Wilds because if you do a hunting horn song combo, you can leave an echo on the ground, and that echo will do things like there's an echo that will damage the monster over time, or there's an echo that you will leave on the ground and it will heal any of the hunters that are standing in it. So as a heavy bow gunner, I stand in those all the time because I will guard, take the chip damage, and the echo will heal me back up. I'll never have to actually like use a potion or anything.
I don't know that. So there hasn't been, after I've gotten to end game, there hasn't been a lot of issues with me running out of potions.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way it is at end game. It's just, you know, you start off the game with free meal so that you can get free potions. And then after that, you've got ways of getting honey. You got ways of getting a lot of herbs.
And I have 1,100 potions that I've just accidentally crafted.
Yeah. And I've got something similar. Like, I've been, you know, I've got somebody calling me. And they can wait. but yeah, it's been a, it's a good experience. Like, I really like the melee combat in this game. I really hate at least one or two monsters, but I wish there was more. I wish there was more need to hunt all of the monsters and not just like one or two. That's kind of my feeling right now. Like, when I'm alone, when I'm doing like SOS hunts, where I just look for people, you know, who send out an SOS flare, it's the easy way of, you know, joining a group. I'm only hunting Guardian or Tempered Arkveld, you know, which is the, you know, the big bad of the, you know, of this game.
I think he's to me one of the easier ones.
Well, I think Gormagala is actually harder just because of his movement.
Yeah, I think he's harder, and the Jin whatever one that we were just doing is harder.
Yeah, well, actually, he's kind of a gimmick, because if you know how he moves and you can get, you know, position him under the ice blocks, then you've got him. But Gormagala, he moves like a cat. He jumps over a bunch of people and attacks from behind, does a bunch of shit, right? Whereas Arkveld, I've got his moveset down to, you know, I know what he's going to do. Like, for the most part, he surprises me every once in a while with his attacks, but that's only because there's one attack that will sweep behind me and through me. And if I'm using a heavy bow gun and I'm not looking in that direction, you know, I have to basically flip 180 to block behind me for that attack, which is not easy to do with a heavy bow gun because you turn like a turret. So there's only one or two attacks that he will really get me on. Otherwise, I know exactly where to shoot him. I know exactly where to hit him. And he's a punk. I can take him, you know, take him down fairly quickly. But he has some of the best rewards. Like, if you want, you know, if you want the end game parts to be able to build weapons and stuff like that, that's the hunt you go and do. If you want decorations, that's the hunt you go and do. Just not the, you know, not the tempered version. You go do the normal arc build for the, you know, for the decorations. And it's just that over and over again. And I want that experience to be more diverse. I want all of the monsters to have a similar loot pool so that you can really like diversify the kind of monsters. Because there's some monsters that are, you know, that are really cool, you know, to fight, but I never fight them because because I don't need any of the rewards. So it's a thing that needs to be balanced out in Wilds. I think that'll happen in time, and it's very likely that it'll happen somewhere around one of the free updates or
in one of the title updates that they do, they'll add more monsters, and they will eventually have a master rank. And so it'll go low rank, high rank, master rank. So everybody has to, you know, basically do the grind over again for master rank. It tends to happen during the expansion. But they tend to diversify the need for certain parts from monsters, so that you have to hunt more types of monsters to be able to build build a piece of gear or whatever. I kind of look forward to that, because great hunts with two or three targets are fun as fuck. Like, it really pushes you to be careful and kill things as fast as possible. So, well, we'll see how it goes. I mean, Monster Hunter Wilds is doing fantastic at the moment. Like, as far as, numbers are concerned, reviews are really good. And I think it's going to get, a lot of support. I think it'll get one, maybe even two expansions based off the amount of effort they put into it. So it's going to be my go-to, for funsies, but I'm going to have to actually diversify my gaming experience to not get super bored with it. Cause
that's about where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Cause I finally had time to play it, and I'm just like, got the end game, really got the end game. And now I'm just like, I need to just chill out for a second.
Yeah. And I think it helps a little bit, playing in party, sharing quests and whatnot. But boy, we found out that Capcom and the Monster Hunter, people made it unnecessarily convoluted to actually, to do anything with the party. Like, you can't be in the same instance with your party members and, join a quest. Why?
Yeah, it's...
Why is that even a thing?
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, but, That's Monster Hunter Wilds, really.
It's a good game. I mean, I've got 70 hours in it, I think. So, I think we're doing A-okay. It's a 4.5 out of 5 for sure.
Yeah, it's all right for me. I enjoy the fuck out of it. I am master rank something. Triple digits. I'm sure. Let me take Hunter rank 104 at the moment. It's a thing. I enjoy the fuck out of it. It's probably one of the more approachable monster hunters, honestly. Because the first monsters aren't going to push your shit in, and really there isn't a Anjanath moment that I noticed. Like, if you remember playing Monster Hunter World, once you got to the point of Anjanath, it was like that fight was the hurdle to pass. Once you passed Anjanath, then it got a little bit easier after that, because of the difficulty.
Yeah. Well, do we want to take a break?
I mean, we can. We've been talking for a minute, so yeah, let's take a break real quick.
All right, guys, we'll be back. Back.
Woohoo.
We're all back.
Yeah, oh boy. I guess Steam sale's going on, which means that at least one of us will have something besides Monster Hunter played next week.
I mean, I'll have.
I will
I'll
have played more
things.
Yeah, I will have played more Monster Hunter, but I don't have any big. I actually just finished most of my photo job. I got to do some crops for some Bandcamp banners and stuff, but I'm basically done. That means besides laundry for the rest of this day, I'm gonna see what's on the Steam sale.
Yeah, there's some decent deals, you know, floating around on the Steam sale this time. And just you know, if you already have all the ones that you want, what are you gonna get?
Yeah, sometimes I find myself in that position, which means go back in your backlog and see what you haven't played.
Right. Or find something that you really like and play it again. You know, which is why I downloaded Elden Ring and a bunch of other shit.
Well, if you don't want to do that, MechWarrior 5 Clans has a new DLC called Ghost Bear. It's a new DLC with some new Omnimechs in story campaign. I don't know what's a part of it, but that is a thing, Jason. Since you like that a little bit more than me.
It's definitely a thing. Is that included with the Game Pass release?
No, none of the DLC is, but it's usually at a discount.
Yeah, so I don't know that I'll be able to pick that up right away, but I will definitely get to it at some point.
Yeah, the there's quite a bit on Game Pass right now, isn't there?
Like on PC Game Pass?
Yeah.
I haven't actually checked in a minute. Let me check, man. What do you got for me, Macazal? Well, because last thing I played on there was Avowed, so.
Around start side, the big newest one was Avowed. They did have Bellatro.
Bellatro's on there. Warhammer 40k Rogue Trader's on there. They brought back Monster Train again, because they brought that fell off. Now it came back.
Yeah, Rogue Trader's on there.
Watch Dogs Legion. Huh?
Rogue Trader's on there.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, Warhammer 40k
Rogue Trader.
And they dropped in a new Sniper Elite game I didn't even know was happening.
Yeah, I talked about that a couple Sniper weeks ago, Elite and you're like, oh, I don't want to do that.
Oh,
yeah.
I did? I don't know. I've slept since then, dude.
That's my excuse. Stop
recently
it.
Recently added, let's see. Yeah, Mullet Mad. I didn't like Mullet Mad Jack. I tried the demo for that. It's very fast-paced, but it's on there. But yeah, Sniper Elite. Ninja Gaiden 2 Black has been reviewed quite well. Sniper Elite might be something I could play. Lonely Outpost, I'm going to tell you right now, that game is never going to get finished. I don't know why they released it on there.
It's never going to get finished?
No. No. I have that. I bought it quite a while ago. But yeah, I was not impressed at all.
Okay.
Oh, Atomfall. I think that was the one I was talking about last week, wasn't it? That one's coming up soon, at the end of this month. Which is kind of nice that you don't have to wait. But yeah, there's some stuff on Game Pass you could play. Might try some Sniper Elite. I'm not sure yet what I want to try. I might go back to the farming sim I was working on. Who knows?
Yeah, I just don't know about that one, just because, you know, I don't know. The 4 and 5 were kind of let downs.
Well, Jason, yeah, give it a try. Yeah, I know that you really liked Rogue City. There's going to be an expansion that comes out this summer called Unfinished Business Robocop.
No, it is a standalone game.
It says expansion.
Well, yeah, it's looking just There isn't anything that I really want to play on.
Either way, it's like another 20 hours.
Yeah, well, something. It's more of that. Something that you guys might be on the lookout for as well. This is like high rumor, but Bethesda's been saying they've been remaking Oblivion, or it's been rumored that they are, and there is a, I don't know what year anniversary is, but I want to say probably 20-year anniversary is coming up here soon. But anyways.
Everything old is new again.
Yeah, there's rumor that the remake being made in UE5 set to launch, well, the anniversary would be March 20th. 19th anniversary, I'm sorry. It's rumored that that is coming out.
That means that
they were announced or something like that here in the next week.
Yeah, it'll come next year. If there's anything, it'll come next year. Because they're gonna wait for the 2.0, you know.
Yeah, they got to wait for the 20.
For sure.
Like, I would be okay with a Oblivion remake. I think it needs a few things. Like, it looks so old at this point. Like, it is kind of hard to play. Like, everybody's face looks like it's made out of, like, Play-Doh or something. I don't know what it is about. It's the graphics 20 years ago were mind-blowing, but there was nothing that was, like, detailed in any way in 3D when it came out.
Well, they didn't have the the models didn't have, like, facial features. So the models are basically just kind of like a round surface that they placed a bitmap over top of. And that's why it looks weird.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, like a nose is a picture of a nose, right?
Right, exactly. So yeah. There wasn't very much there wasn't any contour to it. It would look like exactly if you had printed out a picture of Jason's face on a piece of paper and just taped it to your face. Mm. You know, that's kind of what the technology was back then. Now we've got photorealism. So
there were also a lot of things with Oblivion that were just really janky and
no. A Bethesda game janky? You gotta be kidding me.
And were really broken that they kind of addressed in Skyrim.
A Bethesda game that was broken? No. You gotta be kidding me.
Anybody here have any nostalgia for Star Fox?
Star Fox? I have a hot take on Star Fox. The Star Fox Adventures, the 3D adventure game that was on the GameCube, I think it was.
Yeah,
it was totally terrible.
That was very universally panned. I enjoyed it. I actually liked that game. I can't tell you why. It clicked. I beat that game. It was one of those things that just, it worked for some reason. It was, you know, the Star Fox on the dinosaur planet or whatever. I don't know, man. It just worked. But yeah, Star Fox, the flying sim, Star Fox, the 3D version of 1942. Okay. That's just all right.
Now Star Fox 64, that's where the nostalgia trip.
Well, it is, but like Star Fox came out like almost 30 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So there is one of the original developers for that game has a new studio called Chuhai Labs. It's working on a spiritual successor to Star Fox called Wild Blue. And on the press release, it said the game will be a rail shooter complete with animal pilots, dogfights, boss battles, and blue skies. Which
what about the purple skies?
I'm not sure that even appeals to me, no. Like, sometimes there are things that seem really neat from way back in the day, right? And this is not one of those things. An on-rail shooter was cool back then because there wasn't a lot of shooters. Right?
Right.
It's also, you know, at this point in my life, I would much rather see, like an actual, Wing Commander remake or something like that. Star Fox.
Yeah, okay. I can understand that. The on-rail shooters never really, there's not very much that's interactive about it. Like, even back then, playing the original Star Foxes, Star Fox, 64, stuff like that, there was not a lot that could change from run to run. So, it's one of those you play it once, you've seen most of everything. And I guess that was the way that games were back then, too. So, I don't know, man. I feel like if they're going to do something like that and they're going to have an on-rail shooter, then it's got to be built so that it's a different rail every time, if that makes sense. Otherwise, the gameplay is going to be boring, and I think people will drop off on real quick.
Yeah, I just don't understand the appeal anymore.
I mean, most people don't understand the appeal of standing in a VR space and swinging virtual lightsabers at blocks, to the sound of music. But boy, was that fun. It doesn't make sense until you play it. If you just go by that description, you're standing in a VR space, you're swinging virtual lightsabers at blocks, set to music. That describes Beat Saber in a nutshell, but it does not describe how fun that game can be. So, we'll see. I mean, I don't know, man. There might be a small, a small group of people out there that'll play that type of thing, but I don't know. There's better games that I would see, made differently or spiritual successors to before I'd see a new Star Fox. I think Star Fox has run its course.
I think it has too. Like, it's just stuff that's just, maybe that idea doesn't work as well as it used to, right? Yeah. And maybe it's just not for us, right? Like, it was a game for kids when we played it as kids, and maybe his idea is still a game for kids, right?
And that might be too. I mean, there's a lot of games out there. Some of them are good for kids, and some of them aren't. And it's kind of a minefield right now. So we will see. But I mean, there's 5-year-olds out there playing fucking Fortnite that can wipe the floor with my old ass. So what do I know? yeah. I mean, that's one thing that I'd be like, all right, that's enough video games for me, for a day. If I, go play a game, multiplayer game, get owned by some 5-year-old kid that's just like, squeaky voice on a freaking microphone. Yeah, I'm done. I'm good. I think I'll go read a book at this point. I'll do something old. I'll go crochet.
Make bone broth.
Like knit. Huh?
Like make bone broth.
Make more bone broth. That's right. Yeah. I'll just make some more bone broth and you'll be good with it. Never tried my bone broth. I don't know what to do
with bone broth. Make soup.
You drink bone broth. It's fucking good for you. I'm probably going to go get some out of the freezer and fucking thaw it out. It sounds good. What?
So,
I hear you judging me.
yeah, a lot.
So something that is going to happen, and I don't have the date on it yet, but Focus Entertainment announced that they are developing Space Marine 3.
Space Marine 3.
Yeah.
That didn't take them very long to start production on the next game.
Hey, it did real. We were just like, fuck it, let's do a 3.
It did all right. If they open it up a little bit more, I could see this, going pretty good. It was a very good game. Like I enjoyed doing it, but I think you put. Okay, so hear me out. Space Marine 2 gameplay, mission types like Helldivers 2.
Yeah, I'd be down with that. Have a short single-player campaign to get you used to the mechanics, and then...
And just, like...
On your way to build better characters.
Yeah, just drop in and kick the shit out of some Xenos ass.
You kind of can do that right now.
I know, I know, but like
we could be doing that right now.
We could. I am so far behind the power curve and fucking Helldivers 2 right now that.
No, I'm just saying. You literally can be doing that right now in Space Marine 2.
I guess, yeah, you could do that.
We've never even tried it.
Based off the same missions, though. It's like you
have we tried
mission
it
over and over again. I kind of like the emergent style gameplay of dropping into a place. You don't have all of the intel. You kind of have to figure it out as you go. And that's kind of how Helldivers 2 works, is you kind of pick a spot on the map. You kind of have a rough idea of where you're going. But along the way, shit gets real. There's fucking bug nests here. There's fucking a side objective over here. You can see shit in the distance and you kind of walk towards that direction and you do stuff. That's kind of what I'm looking for from that kind of gameplay. I think you marry that with Space Marine 2 style combat, just the grittiness of the 40K universe and just make it so that it doesn't seem, at least to me, the campaign seemed real easy. So, make it so that you could die. and you've got yourself a fucking game that, has some weight to it, We'll see what they do. Space Marine 2 was really good. It just seemed... It just seemed like the story itself was really curated and.
Well, it was a single player game.
And I really didn't feel like there was anything more for me afterwards. Like the multiplayer did not appeal to me whatsoever. So,
we never even tried it.
It just didn't appeal to me. Like, I'm more of a co-op person. They had co-op and PvP. The co-op was just was certain side missions you could do, and the PvP was basically like a fucking team deathmatch, essentially. And it was more geared towards getting people into the PvP, decorating their Space Marine. It's not my style. That's just not my game. So if they did something that was more geared towards the co-op experience and, I don't know. I don't want everything to be another Helldivers 2, but I also don't want, I don't want to have everything be a fucking Call of Duty. So, something different.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. The go ahead.
I was gonna say I could honestly agree with that. I'm burnt out on everything either being a freaking live service game or
or fucking Battle Royale or
freaking Battle Royale, yeah.
Yeah. Just want something that's fresh, that's, you know, that is one of those drop in, drop out type things where you can do one or two matches and be, you know, be good for a day. Something that does respect your time, but also is a whole lot of fun to sit down on a weekend and spend half the day doing with your buddies, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not about games that give me stress anymore. So, like, I have a policy. If a game is pissing me off, I move on to another game. I might not go back to it, you know? Which, I mean, considering it's a preference thing. It might be it might seem like an old man-ish thing, but I mean, honestly, it's my free time and I don't want to fucking waste my free time being frustrated. You know, there are games that I play to be frustrated, like the Souls games, because, you know, it's like, hey, that sucked, but I also learned something about that. Like, don't be so fucking, you know, don't be so reckless, like be a little more defensive, space your shit out, you know, stuff like that.
Well, we did watch the Death Stranding 2 trailer as a podcast right before on break.
I think Death Stranding 2 would be a great game to just chill to. Honestly, that was one of the things that I liked about the original Death Stranding was like it had its moments, like it had its Kojima moments where shit does not make any damn sense. You're fucking, you know, you're watching a movie sometimes. Hell, the trailer itself was a movie. It's 10 minutes long.
Yeah, we watched 5 of those 10 minutes.
Yeah. But, you know, it's enough out there and enough tied to bits of reality that it can be an enjoyable experience. And, you know, just like the base gameplay, I don't know what it is about being a, you know, post-apocalyptic, you know, UPS driver, but
it works somehow.
I don't know, the first time I played through it, I couldn't get enough of it. So
yeah, I don't know what it is about that either, but there's something about something that should be boring as hell that's really fun about that game.
Yeah. And that's just, everything is, the environment itself is the puzzle. And I think that was one of the things that I liked about, you know, going through Death Stranding is like, I'm going to go from pick something up at point A, take it to point B, and I've got to navigate basically this minefield along the way. What is the easiest, less dangerous route? And could I get it there faster if I took a more dangerous route? Or in some situations, you go and you set up bridges and ladders and freaking anchor points, you know, rope anchor points and shit like that ahead of time so that you can go right to those places and just do the point A to point B, and skip all that shit. There's a lot of ways to attack that game. You know, if they continue with that, with Death Stranding 2, and it sounds like it's going to be even more, you might have even more combat because the combat was kind of janky in the first one. We're non-existent in some places. It seems like there's going to be that plus more combat plus more Kojima. And really, honestly, it's Kojima is like a, I don't know. He's, you know, he strikes me like the,
We were talking about this. It's like Kojima doesn't, A, doesn't know how to end anything.
No.
And B, like, he has full creative control, which means things are just off the rail fever dream stuff, right? Like that little doll guy. Like, I don't understand any of it. It always looks like it's from the perspective of somebody who's never experienced said things, right? I feel like he's a dude that has the most overactive imagination in the world that will try to invent how things work, if that makes sense. So it's like we're looking at like the biological transformers, basically, in the trailer. It's just like,
So I think of Kojima as like a modern day H.P. Lovecraft.
Don't give him that much credit.
I mean, he comes up with a world, and there's a lot of shit in that is behind the scenes. You don't ever see it, but the parts that you know that you do get to see is just twisted enough to be like, what the fuck? What's the deal here? Right? Nobody's going to get that, you know, go all the way Lovecraft, but he's pretty close. Like, as a storyteller, he's out there, right? So,
it's like just a goofy thing. I can't think
of anybody else that's like even close to, to the weirdness of Kojima right now.
Yeah.
I'm just, the names of the characters are a little bit ridiculous.
Oh, well, he's kind of, yeah.
He's Heartman
had this thing
Heartman
about writing about American
just saying
American stuff.
Heartman.
Yeah. Who has issues with the heart? Yes. Yes.
Fragile.
Fragile. Who's actually fragile?
Yeah. Like they're all descriptors. Dead man. Die hard man.
Die hard man. Who just can't die.
I'm just saying, like
Psycho Mantis, which is a psychic,
Mantis. I think he's so, you know, again, I think he's like
Revolver Ocelot, who uses a revolver.
Correct. That's what I'm getting at.
Right.
I think he takes himself incredibly seriously, right? And none of the stuff that Kojima does should work. And I don't even think it's because of the fandom. He's a really good designer of mechanics and games, right? I think he's an awful, like, I don't know, like,
dude, he's like even D a really level great idea, man.
He is an awful writer, beyond indie level writer. But he's such a good designer of game mechanics that he makes all these really ridiculous ideas like stick because the gameplay loop is good. And that's my hot take on Kojima. I think he is a fantastic game designer, right? He takes all these like crazy ass ideas that he came up with in a fever, like must take boatloads of acid, right? And then just has these like crazy ideas with the most generic ass names for things, right? And then creates all this stuff that in his mind is brilliant writing, right? I think it's awful writing. However, he's one of the best game designers in general out there that understands how to make mechanics fun. And so he takes all this crazy shit and then makes games out of it. And then you got one side of his fans that are like, he's brilliant. And I'm definitely not in that camp.
Okay.
Exceptionally good at making something fun to play. And I think he's one of the few like old school developers, right, from 40 years ago at this point, right, that understands how to make game satisfying gameplay loops.
I think he's good at being bad at being good.
He is certainly one of the most eccentric game developers out there.
That's just the way it works. He is three level.
He's a great idea person. But you know, like story wise, you know, him as a writer or director, it's kind of like, okay, so this is it starts out normal and turns into a total fucking acid trip.
I'm just thinking, like, you come up with the term, yeah, I'm going to create this character named Revolver Ocelot, and you're like, okay, that's explain, because that sounds dorky as hell. Oh, he's a commando dude. He uses a revolver. All right. Like, tell me how that's cool. And then somehow it works. Like,
it works. Quiet is another one. Quiet.
You're right.
He's actually quiet and is a sniper. But also can breathe through her skin so that she doesn't make any noise.
Exactly.
And is the whole reason he got all of that sexist bullshit about her costume.
I mean,
it was
he just creates trouble for himself.
Sometimes. No, I think what he did is he wanted to have that costume, and then he created a way to make it happen.
I mean, that wasn't much of a would costume. Also make sense.
Yeah, what's the name of that law? Like,
it was more of a couple rags.
Like, it's like whatever the most obvious theory is probably it. But
well, there are periods in his games, like, so as random as he is about shit like that, and the fact that some of the stuff is like on the nose, it's also red herrings in a way. So there is bits in each one of his games that you don't see coming until the reveal happens, because he's kept you on your on your heels the entire time with shit that's like on the nose or some kind of like silly political statement shit that loosely ties into the real world, right?
I'm just thinking about the BBs that were babies that were inside of a little jar. I forgot what they did.
That's the kind of thing that's on the nose. But, there's reveals about shit in the story that, you realize all of the stuff that you're criticizing is surface level. And then if you if you dive deeper than the surface, you see that there's surface level, and then there's this commentary level that's like it's built to be an outsider's view of like American culture. A lot of what he does is outsider's view of American culture, right? And then if you look at all the Metal Gear Solids and all of that shit, it's all outsider's view of American culture. And some of it is really, really like crazy on the nose. But if you dive even deeper than that shit, then he's got this kind of weird, like supernatural undertone to almost everything that he's got going. And that layer of his storytelling is missable. It's something that can be completely like glossed over, but that layer of his storytelling is where the twists come from. So all of the, a lot of the twists that you see in Kojima games come from the layer that is so deep that, most people just ignore it. And when it happens, you're like, oh, wow, that was weird. And then you move on from there. But people who are already kind of like following that, that period of or that that layer of the storytelling, they're like, oh, shit, that's like that changes everything, And for me, going through what story there was in, in Death Stranding, which I mean, there is a lot. There's, a lot of that shit is way deeper than the gameplay. It's way deeper than the surface level shit that you can see. So you just have to, you have to dig deeper to understand how weird and wacky he gets. And he is very much
also at the same time. I think Death Stranding kind of proved that he's really in his element, writing a hard sci-fi game. Like, for me, the story of that game was a lot easier to follow than some of the twists he tried to take in the Metal Gear series.
Yeah, he was too constrained by reality with Metal Gear. As weird as that sounds, he was too constrained by, issues of reality, in those games. In a world where there's freaking multi-story mechs that can shoot rail guns halfway across the world, he was still too grounded in, in reality. Whereas Death Stranding being what it is, it allowed him to take what was reality, twist it, make it his own. And honestly, I have never seen any game, even come close, or any story even come close to the apocalyptic vision he had for Death Stranding. Like, it there's layers upon layers of shit that, you know, that it, that's tied to that. And it was not even close to being explained by the end of that game. Even after an hour worth of ending scene, there was a movie at the end of of Death Stranding. It still didn't explain everything. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this game. It'll be a fun little jaunt.
Well,
I don't mind being, you know, post-apocalyptic UPS driver again.
No, I really don't either.
Norman Reedus really liked it too. Like, he's
been all in.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, this is the shit right here. So
he's about the same age as Kojima, isn't he?
I'm not sure.
Late 50s, actually. Early 60s. Kojima's
a little older.
Kojima's 61, I think. But
61.
Only things that we got coming out that this cast might be interested in is you've got, for this month, Adam Fall comes out on Game Pass on March 27th, so in a couple weeks.
Reedus is 56.
Yeah, they're close. 5 years apart.
Pretty close.
And not seeing anything for April. Some reason there's a... Commando's Origins? No. Days Gone Remastered on PS5? No, that seems silly. May got Doom Dark Ages. And Elden Ring, Night Ring. I think it's time to dig into backlog and check out this spring sale.
Yeah.
Time to play some Kingdom Come or something.
That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Might be looking to see if Fields of Mysterio is off. It's another farming sim, because I like those for some reason. But yeah. I don't got anything else. Do you guys got anything else?
Negative.
Negatory.
All right. Well, you can find us at... That's you.
Yeah. Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel, youtube.com/tiltcastshorts with a Z, and search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Find some friends of the show. You've got Picking Up Pixels or Pupcast, and you've got TVGP.TV. They also review video games. And with that, it's the end of the show.
All right.
Peace.